This is Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter 22, Prithu Maharaja's meeting with the Kumaras. This is text 19. Sangama,
Sangama
Kalu,
Kalu
Sadhuna,
Sadhuna
Sangama Kalu Sadhuna,
Sangama Kalu Sadhuna,
Ubayesham cha samata, ubayesham cha samata, ubayesham cha samata, yat sambhashana, samprashna, yat sambhasana samprashna, yat sambhashana samprashna, sarvesham vitanoti sham, sarvesham vitanoti sham, sangama, association,
kalu,
certainly,
sadhunam,
of devotees,
ubayesham,
for both,
cha,
also,
samatha,
conclusive,
yat,
which,
sambhashana,
discussion,
samprashna,
question and answer,
sarvesham,
of all,
vitanoti,
expands,
sham,
real happiness. Translation:
when there is a congregation of devotees, their discussions, questions and answers become conclusive to both the speaker and the audience. Thus such a meeting is beneficial for everyone's real happiness. Please repeat.
When there is a congregation of devotees,
their discussions, questions and answers
become conclusive to both the speaker and the audience.
Thus such a meeting is beneficial
for everyone's real happiness.
Purport. Hearing discussions among the devotees is the only means to receive the powerful message of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For instance, Bhagavad Gita has been well known all over the world for a very long time, especially in the Western world. But because the subject matter was not discussed by devotees, there was no effect. Not a single person in the West became Krishna conscious before the Krishna consciousness movement was founded.
Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
But when the same Bhagavad Gita was presented as it is through the disciplic succession, the effect of spiritual realization was immediately manifested. Sanat Kumar, one of the Kumaras, informed Prithu Maharaj that his meeting with the Kumaras benefited not only Maharaj Prithu, but the Kumaras as well. When Narad Muni questioned Lord Brahma about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Brahma thanked Narada Muni for giving him a chance to speak about the Supreme Lord. Therefore, questions put by a saintly person to another saintly person about the Supreme Personality of Godhead or about the ultimate goal of life surcharge everything spiritually. Whoever takes advantage of such discussions is benefited both in this life and in the next. The word ubayesham can be described in many ways. Generally, there are two classes of men, the materialist and the transcendentalist. By hearing discussions between devotees, both the materialist and transcendentalist are benefited. The materialist is benefited by association with devotees because his life then becomes regulated, so that his chance of becoming a devotee or making the present life successful for understanding the real position of the living entity is increased. When one takes advantage of this opportunity, he is assured of a human form of life in the next birth, or he may be liberated completely and go back home, back to Godhead. The conclusion is that if one participates in a discussion of devotees, he is both materially and spiritually benefited. The speaker and the audience are both benefited, and the karmis and jnanis are benefited. The discussion of spiritual matters amongst devotees is beneficial for everyone without exception. Consequently, the Kumaras admitted that not only was the king benefited by such a meeting, but the Kumaras were as well. Oma jnana timirandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurum militam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha. I came here to speak about congregational development to some of the students, and I'm delighted to say, so far so good, that they are... Oh, what happened? I was just going to say, so far so good. You don't really have to bring someone like Kripa Mohan Das in every year. I really know that I shouldn't have told you that, because I enjoy coming here. But really, congregational development is what we do every day. And the secret of congregational development is in this verse. So there you are. This is my last visit. Prabhupada simply says two things. You have some devotees who really, really want to know about Krishna. You have some devotees who really want to speak about Krishna. And you bring them together. How simple could it be? Or how complicated could it be? Then what has to happen is that there must be discussion. And discussion is based on some prashna. The discussion is based on questions and answers, of course. And then sometimes, because the speaker doesn't quite understand the answer, he or she will say, could you just explain that a bit more? I'm not quite sure if I understand. And then more discussion will take place. And then sometimes the speaker really doesn't agree with the questioner really doesn't agree with the answer that he or she has received and finds it to be contradictory. And that, rather than pulling down the discussion, actually elevates it. It elevates it, as I was saying the other day. So here's one more example of a wonderfully elevating discussion that's taking place based on questions and answers. And Prabhupada in this verse, in the purport, he's saying that, you know, when you have people who want to question and you have people who want to answer, and they really, really want to know the answer, and they really want to discuss, and they're really interested in the subject matter, like Lakshmi Moni was saying the other day, the gentleman who reads the cricket every day, why is he oblivious to Govardhan Hill, but turning his back on Govardhan Hill but reading the cricket? Because he really, really wants to know what the scores are. He really does. Otherwise, it's quite difficult to get a newspaper on Govardhan Hill. But you go to that effort because you really want to know about cricket. Now, there was an interesting piece. Of course, everybody knows that cricket is an English game, invented by England. And now England is defeated all over the world in the game that we invented. Now, why would that be? Now, I just happened to be here at Radha Desh, and yes, all right, I was in Maya yesterday, and I looked on the BBC News. But you know what the BBC News said yesterday? Game of cricket invented in Belgium. I hung my head in shame. Not only are we being beaten by the game of cricket, but we didn't even invent it. The Belgians invented it. And does anybody in Belgium play cricket? What's Belgian for cricket? So you invented it, you looked at it, you thought, this is not so important. Let us give this to the world. And you went on to greater things like chocolate. But even that you didn't invent. And then all you Belgians, you take to Krishna consciousness and you give it up. Just see. You give up cricket and you give up chocolate. This is civilized life. So real civilized life is being displayed by Maharaj Prithu. He's a great king. And he's also very handsome. So we don't have to think that being one thing means that you're devoid in everything else. And the Bhagavatam goes to great pains
to describing not only Prithu's pious qualities, but the fact that he was handsome. He had black curly hair, and this curly hair was in small curls. And then he had flashing white teeth, and his face was very pleasing to look at. You see? Now, why does the Bhagavatam tell us these details? Because the Bhagavatam wants us to be there with Prithu Maharaj. Bhagavatam, of course, is in the days when really you had to create the picture within your mind. So if you create that picture, it's like sometimes in the Bhagavatam we're given a picture of the place where the yogi lived. And it's described how he lived by a lake, and then follows a list of all the birds that were singing, and then a list of all the flowers that were blooming, just so that you can be away from Belgium or away from London, and you can be with that person. And I was told once by a devotee that when you open up the pages of the Bhagavatam, well, actually Prabhupada said it, but this devotee had told me, he said that when you open up the pages of the Bhagavatam, you are in the company of Narada Muni. And this devotee put on his best mystical voice to me, and he said, you know, when you open up the pages of the Bhagavatam, it's like opening up a window to the spiritual world, and you just climb through it, and you're in the spiritual world with the characters that you're reading about. And of course I was very young, so I just went, wow. And when we used to read the Bhagavatam in the morning, as I was travelling around the country, and the sun was just rising, and the birds were just beginning to sing, and the flowers were blooming, and we were in a peaceful place, it was actually like being in a different world. So here we're being ushered into the world, into the court of Maharaj Prithu. Now Maharaj Prithu, he gives a wonderful inauguration speech. Some leaders these days, some political leaders, they carefully avoid any reference to God. They don't mention God at all. However, Maharaj Prithu, he talks about God, and he talks about scripture, and he talks about religion, and he does it without even once raising his voice and shouting into a microphone and pounding his fist against his palm or picking up the scripture and waving it at the crowd. There's none of this passionate or ignorant defense of a holy scripture. Rather, he's actually pleading with his citizens. He's actually saying, I'm the king, but I want you to understand one thing. That doesn't mean that I'm just here to tell you what to do. It means that king and citizens are entering into a sacred bond between each other. And the sacred bond is that I tell you how to engage, through my Brahmins and my ministers, I tell you how to engage in Varna and Ashram. And then I safeguard the protection of Varna and Ashram so that you can do it. And the main reason I do this for you is that you won't commit sins. Because I'm telling you, my citizens, if you commit sins, I will have to receive the result of those sins. So please, I'm begging you, in my inauguration speech, do not commit sin, but follow Varna and Ashram. And then he describes some wonderful things. He says, if you're actually inquisitive about knowing the absolute truth, even amongst your performance of Varna and Ashram, you'll present yourself to great souls. You'll present yourself to great souls. You'll find them. And of course, this is the whole Bhagavatam, isn't it? Sages in the forest, and Sutta, and Shonaka, and then we have Shukadeva Goswami and Pariksha. They were great souls who wanted to hear, and great souls who wanted to speak, and they found each other. It's like later on in the Krishna book, we find Banasura. Is it Banasura? Had 1,000 arms. And he just, night and day, he was just thinking, I've got to find something to do with these arms. I got 1,000 arms. I got to fight. I've got to fight someone. Now, who can I find to fight with? And he was roaming the earth looking for someone to use his 1,000 arms on. When you've got it to give, you've got to give it. And when you really want to know, you've got to find someone who can tell you. So people meet each other based on the subject that they really want to discuss, the knowledge that they really want to have, or the money, or the boys want the girls, and the girls want the boys, and they find each other. It's not a mystery. It's just based on intense desire, and with the intensity of that desire, you will meet the right person. You see, it's no great mystery. Now, Super Soul, Paramatma, Antaryami, Upadrishta, who dwells within the heart of all, makes these arrangements possible. Why? Because there is love between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and those souls who have forgotten Him. So if you want to come to the material world and experience material nature without God consciousness, even that is possible. But the moment that you want to experience God consciousness, for the pipes. So the moment that you want to experience God consciousness, you set in motion a procedure, a mystical procedure, whereby you will come into the presence of God Himself. First, as a chain of people who will give you little pieces of information that lead you towards the Vartma Pradarshika Guru, who leads you towards the Partha Pradipika Guru, who leads you towards the consistent Shiksha Guru, who leads you towards the Diksha Guru, who gives you God. Of course, there are other ways that we can look at that process, and we can say that then the Diksha Guru introduces you to a sequence of Shiksha Gurus. That's all right too. But the whole point is that the sequence of Gurus leads you to God Himself. Why? Because the Guru is the external manifestation of the Supersoul. This is how Supersoul makes himself available in the world. Now, there are many places where Prabhupada says that the Supersoul manifests himself before the external senses of the living being. Before the external senses. And Prabhupada in London, of course, in 1973, he was speaking to an Indian lady, and she said, Can I find God by reading the books? Can a spiritual master be there in the books? And at that time, of course, Prabhupada says different things at different occasions, but at that time, Prabhupada said, when you make a spiritual master, it is concrete, not in the air. Do not make a spiritual master in the air. It is concrete. Meaning that the spiritual master comes to your home and you bathe his feet, and you inquire from him submissively, what is the absolute truth? Even if you've been to many, many of his lectures, and you think you know what he's going to say, and even though he may know that he's told you before, still, this is the customary procedure. Many, many years ago, when I was just a little lad, they said, don't write a letter to Srila Prabhupada. If you've got any questions, you can ask us. And when Prabhupada comes, don't touch his feet. So I never asked Prabhupada a question verbally. I never asked a question through correspondence. And I never touched Prabhupada's feet. But what I did do was Prabhupada's feet were there, and I came as close as possible without touching them. But you know, I always regret not having that contact. And yes, these days we can discuss Vani, and we can discuss Vapu, and we can contrast and compare the relevant spiritual merits of it. But let us not depreciate Vapu to the extent where Vapu completely becomes irregular. And the reason for this is that we will do ourselves out of what the Supersoul has been arranging for us, and that is to come into the close physical presence of a sadhu. And that's what's going on here, and that's why Prabhupada talks about it in the purports. Because here's an opportunity, Prithu Maharaj says, for coming into the association of a devotee and making your questions. So he says that he says to his citizens, follow the rules of Varnana Ashram and present your inquiries before great souls, and then you will become elevated, and then you won't perform sin, and I won't have to suffer. He says, but I tell you one important thing about God. God carries a club. God carries a club. In other words, we look at God as sweetness and light and love and mercy. But it's the king's business to tell you that in his other hand, God carries a club for punishing those who sin. And unless you have just a little bit of fear of God, then it's very easy to become a sahaja. It's very easy to become a sinful person in the name of being a devotee, in the name of following Varna Ashram. You must be concerned about the consequences of sin. Otherwise, what will happen is sin will just be there alongside the process of devotional service. And as Prabhupada told the story of his Guru Maharaj, who had a diorama, a touring diorama exhibit. And one of the exhibits was the Brahmin who was taking the Shalagram Shila off the altar. You know the story? I told you the story. Yeah, using the Shalagram Shila to crack nuts. He was being a pujari for a rich man. And the rich man looked in through the door of the room one day to see how his hired pujari was doing puja on his behalf. Because, of course, a very rich man, he's got no time to do puja. But if he pays someone to do puja on his behalf, then he gets at least some of the merit of having done puja. So he looked in to see how his Brahmin was getting on with this business, and he saw that the nice offerings of almond nuts that he had given to the Brahmin to offer to the household Shalagram Shila, he was taking the Shila off the altar and using the Shila to crack the nuts. And of course he was horrified, and the Brahmin was out of a job very soon. Can you imagine something like that? Anyway, what happened was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he made a diorama of this incident, and he put the Brahmin with the Shila in his hand and a plate of nuts, and he took this on tour, and they would go to agricultural fairs, and they would go to different places wherever people would gather. And I think they had about 30 of these exhibits, and people would come and they would look. I guess they weren't waxworks, not in the Bengali heat, but they were what they called putul. And putul is a metal, then straw, bamboo, then straw, then Ganges mud, and very fine clay on the outside. And of course you've seen they do the goddess Durga defeating Mahishasura. If you go to India at that time, you'll see very expertly sculpted deities. So he did this, and some Brahmins, local Brahmins, became completely incensed, because the Brahmin that he'd done had three line tilak along his forehead like this. And so he took the they said, why have you had a Shivite Brahmin performing this most abominable thing? It must be because you're the Vaishnavas, and this is your political statement against the Shivite community. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, no. And he said, you tell them that this is for everyone. So eventually it went to court, and they had to go to court. And the Gaudiya Vaishnavas had to defend their stance in court, with the judge. Why have you done this disgraceful thing? And then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, well, he said, we don't mind. We will put Gaudiya Vaishnav tilak on this person, because even the Gaudiya Vaishnavas can become sinful in the name of sadhana bhakti if they're not careful. So he was making that point. So Prithu Maharaj is asking his citizens, God has a club, and you be very careful that you don't sin in the name of performing varna and ashram. Surrender to him. And then he goes on to say how it's done. He says, he is represented by the Vaishnavas. And for this reason, royalty should never.
It's false.
Is that what is the time?
He said, royalty should never display their prowess before Vaishnavas and Brahmins. They should never display their prowess. Did I tell you this story? One time, I'm going with a sculpture theme. One time we had a devotee who's, because I see Prabhuji sitting there, he's inspiring me as the artistic story. So we had one sculptor, and this sculptor had a, he was coming and he was meeting Prabhupada, and he had a commission to do a bust of the Queen, Queen of England, Queen Elizabeth II. And then he took a Bhagavad Gita with him, and she had to sit for a long time while he was working with the clay. And so he said, Your Majesty, I have brought this book. I thought you might like to read it while we are doing the sitting. And she took Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita from him, and she sat there and she read it for 2 hours. 2 hours. That's what he told us. He said, she said all the time she was just reading it like this, and she didn't move, and she was just slowly turning the pages, and she was reading it. And at the end, what was her verdict? She said, wouldn't the world be a wonderful place if everybody lived as is described in this book? A nice thing to say. Nice thing to say. So, the point here is that, speaking as an Englishman, royalty is okay, but at the same time, royalty should never display their prowess before the Vaishnavas. And it's interesting, actually, that the Queen of England never changes what she does in order to accommodate the environment where she visits. She always moves in her own environment. That's what being royalty means. It means you get to tell other people how to act. You get to tell other people what to wear. And you get to tell other people, you know, just what to say. That's what royalty means. But for the first time in her entire reign ever, which is going back to 1953, she came to a temple of Vishnu, and she took off her shoes. And the newspapers were full of the story for days afterwards. The Queen of England took off her shoes. Something that she never, ever does. But she did it because she was going to a temple. I see. Now, I'll just let that sink in. You're Europeans, and you know, you got rid of your, or Americans, you know, you got rid of your royalty a long time ago. Although at the beginning of America, they did actually want a king instead of a president. They were going to have both, you see. But the Dutch king, William of Orange, he didn't want to be the king of America. Now, what a shame. Because the Dutch could have been the royal family of the United States of America. That would have been pretty good. And they would have been saying to all the presidents, Geve wat je wilt. Come on, taxes, and I'll take it back. And Amsterdam would have been as big as New York. As it is, they had to name New York twice because it was so good. So, Prita Maharaj continues. He says, there's no service superior to serving the Vaishnavas. And he says, like Prahlad Maharaj prays, he says that, may the dust of the Vaishnavas always be on my crown. The crown is the topmost part of a king's, it symbolizes everything. In fact, the crown is the very symbol of the king. And if you take the crown or a picture of the crown or a sculpture of the crown around, the penalty for that is instant death unless the king has authorized you. Here's the point. So that is why when the Vaishnavas of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took that symbol on a pole, you know, this symbol, and it goes like this, and like this, and like this. We have it sometimes on Harinam, and a crown at the top. The only way you could do that, the only way that you would dare to do that, is if the Qazi had given you permission. So they took that, and no one touched the Harinam. Everybody knew that symbol. But here's Prita Maharaj is saying, may my crown always have the dust of the Vaishnavas on the top. And then he goes on, he says, actually, although fire yajna is the way that we worship the Lord, he said, actually the best way of worshipping the Lord is by offering ghee and grains into the mouth of the Brahmins and Vaishnavas. By feeding the Vaishnavas, that is even better than a fire sacrifice. Swaha. So he's saying, Vipra Mukhya Hutai, that's called. So then he, while the citizens were thanking him for that speech, the four Kumaras appeared. And this dialogue occurs here. And he says to them that, you know, people, just as they cannot know the Supersoul, although people are actually carrying the Supersoul within them, the Supersoul is closer to them than their own eyelids, but they don't know him. And just as you cannot know the Supersoul unless he chooses to reveal himself to you, and it doesn't take much, you just have to want it. My dear Lord Jagannatha Swami, Nayanapatagami, Bhavatu Me. This is the prayer. My Lord of the Universe, please reveal yourself to me. As soon as you recite that prayer or many, many of the other prayers that ask that you be taken into the presence of Krishna, Krishna begins to reveal himself to you. And how does he reveal himself? He reveals himself in the form of a distinct pleasure that you gain whenever you're in the company of devotees who are talking about Krishna. You'll think, oh, that was nice. That was nice to be there. And then you want to do it again and want to do it again. There's an old Christian story about a priest, and he wanted to go to different... you know, every priest has to find people that you can be a priest for. That's the business of a priest. You know, otherwise you're like a king without a kingdom. It's useless. You know, you're a priest without people, or a congregational preacher without a congregation. That's, you know, or a temple president without a temple. You know, it's only in America that Mr. President gets to be called Mr. President when he's no longer the president. In ISKCON, when you're no longer Mr. President, you're out. He's the ex-president, and we remind you about it the rest of your life. He used to be the temple president. He used to be a sannyasi. He used to be something. And we're never going to let you forget it. So this priest, he wanted to find a village where he could be a priest, because there was too many priests in his own village. So he went to different places, and he came to the first village, and that was unsatisfactory. And he came to another village, that was unsatisfactory. And he came to the third village, and people were really nice, but he had to deliberate on the decision. So he went on a walk. He did his walk and said his prayers, and he came to the graveyard. You know, graveyard. And he comes to all the different stones in the village, and he looks, and it says such and such died after 5 years, such and such died after 2 years, such and such died after 10 years. And he's thinking to himself, this is such an impious village. If I bring my family here, my children may die. There must be some strange disease in the water here. So he was very troubled. People are very nice, but kids, they die very young. People die very young. So he went to the villagers, and he said, you know, what's the problem? He said, why, when I went to the graveyard, is everybody dying young? And they said, oh, sit down. You don't understand. Every time a person comes and we discuss the scriptures, we make a note of how many hours the person sat in discussion, and we add it up. And then throughout their life, that adds up into weeks, and the hours add up into weeks, and the weeks into months, and months into years. And we put down on their gravestone how many years they were actually alive. Because in this village, we believe that you're only truly alive when you're sitting in the company of saints discussing God. So that's why someone was in the discussion of saints for 2 years or 5 years. And he's, the priest said, finally, he said, I've found the village that I want me and my family to live in. Hare Krishna. And now, God has a club. And so does the temple president. And we will finish. Some prashna we can do at a later date.
Right, thank you very much. It's been wonderful being here. And Srila Prabhupada, the greatest giver of answers to our dearmost questions, key.
Jai.